Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When we study the subject of liberalism, we need to understand that it is liberalism to promote and endorse and enforce the use and the acceptance of all the modern versions of the Bible as if they were reliable translations. This includes such versions as the Revised Standard Version, the New International Version, Today's English Version, the New English Bible, many of the private translations like Moffat's and Goodspeed's and similar publications, and one of the worst of all is called the Living Bible. Now, we are aware that no translators were inspired of God, nor are we unmindful that there are weaknesses and faults in any of them because translations involve the work of human beings. However, the weaknesses and the faults are not of the same type and the same seriousness. Now, some have jumped on the modern speech version bandwagon to the extent that they now make all manner of charges and criticisms against the King James Version, thinking that if they can find fault with it, that in some way gives credibility to these new things. Now, we have no objections to new versions per se. We have no objections to translations that use synonymous terms and teach alike. But we are rather disgusted with the so-called translations that are nothing better than just paraphrases and human commentaries and mistranslations and rewritten passages that do not teach what God revealed, but rather incorporate right into the text the doctrines of men. We have never understood why those who say they love the church and love the truth are so insistent that brethren adopt one or other of these new perversions that teach fatal doctrinal error. Their passion for the new has led them from what is true. Some have gone so far in their advocacy of the new versions to declare that elders have no right to determine which version or versions may be taught publicly from the pulpits and classes. They would even rob the eldership of their God-given authority and responsibility and supervision in order to force new versions upon those who attend. Well, that's the manner of liberals. Many churches now have such things as the New International Version in their auditoriums. They distribute to their people, especially to the young. And evidently they do not know, or what is more likely, do not care, what these books actually teach. The schools operated by brethren have done more to promote the modern versions among us than probably any other one source, and even some of them doing it while they were denying they were doing it at the same time. Such books are tools of the devil that cannot but lead to digression, and we're seeing it, because these books teach things foreign to the Word of God. New books mean new authority. New authority will produce a different people. And the adoption of them shows a gross disrespect for the Word of God and reflects a contemptible attitude toward the inspired Word. Most of these new modern versions have been produced for monetary gain and the promotion of denominational dogma. But some of the Let's Be With It brethren and the so-called scholars keep cadence with the liberals and the modernists that have produced them. Liberals deny that a translation can be inspired. No one after whom I have ever heard or read contends that the translators were inspired like the original penman. The scribes of the Old Testament were not inspired, but what they copied was. Jesus quoted from the Septuagint version in translation and contended it was inspired, a translation of some 70 Hebrew scholars. Do you suppose Jesus knew what he was doing? To the extent a translation is just that, a translation, it is as true as the original text. This is true, or we cannot have and do not have the Word of God in our own tongue. 1 Peter 1 and verse 25 would insist that God has given his protection over the preservation of his Word. To deny any translation can be inspired is to contend that the Bible may only contain inspired thoughts, and that's the contention of many who say the Bible is only man's commentary on the Word of God. That's liberalism. That's even modernism. One of the most ridiculous statements we have ever read and heard about modern versions was when one says, when you read the Revised Standard Version and the New International Version and the King James Version and the American Standard Version, that he's reading the very words of God. Friend, how can this be when these books do not say the same thing? I mean, they not only use different words, they teach different doctrines, and where some add, others take away. But the legs of the liberal are never the same length. Scripture contends for a total, verbal, plenary inspiration of an inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient, and authoritative Bible. Now, the King James Version is the nearest and best that is available to the English reader, even with its sometimes found archaic words, obsolete formations, an obsolete syntax and translational weaknesses. It has those things. We commend it, however. We preach from it. And people can understand it and know the truth that they must know in order to be saved. Now, this is not what can be said of such versions as the NIV or the RSV. It is a mark of liberalism to teach the personal and literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that he gives direct influence and guidance and direction and divine help. Some say the Holy Spirit actually, literally, takes up residence in the body that houses our spirit. In other words, our body has our spirit, and our body also has the spirit of deity living within it side by side. Now, while Scripture teaches that the Spirit dwells in us and we in him, it also teaches that God the Father dwells in us as well as the Son. To teach that we are led by the Spirit by some nudges and notions and feelings and special guidances is to negate the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. Yes, the Word dwells in us also. The truth is that to the extent that man abides in the teaching of the Word, to that extent he has fellowship with deity. The so-called indwelling is but a biblical way of speaking of our fellowship with deity. And we do not become little gods with deity inhabiting our bodies. Deity is not in us as if we have been incarnate and we're part human and we're part divine. This literal personal indwelling idea is sometimes cited from Acts 2:38 in what is called the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are several views on what that means. But the most consistent one is taught right in the text itself. Now, while some contend this means a personal indwelling, others teach it means we have the possession of the miraculous powers, or at least those in the first century did. Peter is answering the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He told them to repent and be baptized, all of them, in the name of and by the authority of Christ, and he told them why. It was for the remission of sins. And what would be the additional result of their obedience? They would receive something. What? A gift. What gift? A gift of the Holy Spirit, meaning a gift that comes from him, given by him. It is his gift. This is a possessive phrase, like the doctrine of Christ shows to whom the doctrine belongs. The gift of the Holy Spirit shows the one who gives the gift. It is the Holy Spirit's gift, not the Holy Spirit himself. We also read of the gift of God. That is not God himself. The gift of Christ is not the literal indwelling of Christ himself. Acts chapter 2 tells us what the gift of the Holy Spirit is in verse 39. It is the giving of that which was promised. It was a promise that was extended to you and your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now the verse begins with the word for. That word is translated from the Greek word gar, and it means there is to follow an explanation of what has just been stated. Peter explains the gift of the Holy Spirit as a promise given as extensively even to us. Now, that is not the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is not a promise of miraculous powers. That's not a promise of personal inhabitancy by a deity within our bodies. I know of only one promise in the Bible that is as inclusive as what Peter stated, and that is the promise to Abraham that in his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed, and that referred to Christ, Galatians 3:16. Salvation would be offered to man through Christ. Those who believed and obeyed Christ would be given that great salvation. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the reception of the promise of salvation that God offered to the entire human family through Christ, the seed of Abraham. It is not a literal personal indwelling. That idea has given much rise to Pentecostal doctrines and of direct leadings and direct operation and direct guidance. It gives rise to religion by feelings, and the claim of so-called tongue-speaking and miracles today, and some even claim that this indwelling serves as a protection against sinning in a supernatural fashion. It brings on this being more spiritual attitude because deity lives inside. We have heard it even claimed that prayer is answered because of the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Some confuse God's providential answers to prayer as being a result of a personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is all a part of the vast array of false doctrines and positions that can find their origin in the contention of a personal, literal, actual indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's just as false as it can be. There is not one influence upon man that the Scriptures attribute to the Holy Spirit that is not said of the Word of God. Now, friend, just what all deity may do for us, we're not in a position to tell. But what deity does to us in leading, guiding, directing, that comes by and through the all-sufficient Word. The Holy Spirit operates on the hearts of people, but the instrument He uses is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Now, the Spirit and the Word are not the same, but the Spirit uses the Word. To contend for a direct operation by the Holy Spirit, separate and apart from the Word, is to jump off into the disregard of biblical authority, and that is liberalism. Some contend for a personal indwelling of the Spirit, but do not contend that the Spirit does anything special as a result. In fact, they say they could not even know the Spirit dwells in them except the Word says so. Now, this may be a relatively harmless view as far as distorting the work of the Spirit in man's relationship to God. Such a view does not detract from the Word, as other views that we have mentioned do detract. But it has no biblical support. It is a misrepresentation of what the dwelling of deity in man is and man in deity really means. It means we're among the saved. We have fellowship with deity because of a special relationship having obeyed the gospel of Christ. Friend, we need to be careful. We talk about the Spirit working in conjunction with, you're not talking as the oracles of God. When you start talking about a literal personal indwelling, regardless of your slant upon that, you have ceased to speak as the oracles of God. If we're not careful, if we cease to speak as the oracles of God, it won't be long before the agony of liberalism has come upon us. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.